All right, so we're at 1601 UTC. We'll go ahead and call the meeting to order and ask Chris that you do a roll call for those who are not using the web client.
Okay, so I guess a way to do this is I just read out the names that I do have, and if you don't hear your name, you should let me know that where your name is. How does that sound?
Sounds good to me.
We'll get a few more beats happening. Okay, I have Aaron Hughes, and I have Arnold Nipper, and I have Chris Caputo, Ian Dickinson, Joe Schneiders, Ken Mix, Martin Levy, Matthew Walster, Matt Pithak, Patrick Gilmore.
I lost my slide.
Can you mute your line, please?
Four. No data for telehealth. Okay, revenue.
Okay, I've muted Peter. You want to continue?
Okay, sure. People are flying on. Okay, that was Aaron Hughes, Arnold Nipper, Chris Caputo, Ian Dickinson, Joop Snyders, Ken Mix, Martin Levy, Matthew Walster, Matt Pithak, Michaela Clifford, Patrick Gilmore, Peter Helmingstein, Robert Jacob, Stephen McManus, Steve Muse, Tom Hodgson, Will Hargrave, Jan Berthier, and who else has not been named or is unnamed? Gigi, Kristen Cook. I don't know if anybody knows who Gigi is.
You also have Steve McManus and Muse have joined.
Yep, got them. And I'll take a screenshot periodically and edit the list. Nick Harland, we have. It was a great turnout.
Anybody on audio who hasn't been named?
Christian, I've got you.
Okay. Let's go ahead and get started. Thanks, Chris, for keeping track of everybody.
Okay, and have you started recording?
I have.
Great.
Okay. First, I'm on the agenda. Welcome. So I'm Aaron Hughes. I'm the president of PeeringDB. I'd like to thank everybody, welcome you all, and thanks for taking the time to join this meeting and your continued support of the PeeringDB organization. Today, we're going to provide a brief update on the organization as a whole. So a year ago, we had our annual meeting, and we had just launched the long-awaited PeeringDB 2.0 platform. We had about $150,000 in debt for software and services, some challenges with occasional outages, had no documented mission, strategy, or operational objectives, and together we had a basic plan of getting the organization healthy and out of debt and stable. Today, I can look back on the past year with pride and confidently say, the admin committee, the product development committee, the treasurer and secretary, the board have done a tremendous job in creating a healthy, financially stable organization and are serving the members and users well. I'd like to take a moment to thank our volunteers for the hard work and dedication to PeeringDB. They are the heart of the organization, and without them, we would not be here today. I'd also like to thank our sponsors for their continued financial support. They've been an essential part of creating a healthy organization, and we look forward to their continued support. The PeeringDB organization strives to be as transparent as possible and document its mission, strategy plan, operational objectives, financial information, committee information, organizational information, all meeting minutes, which are at gov.peeringdb.com, and I would like to encourage all of you to review the site and provide feedback to the board. On this meeting today, we're going to provide updates on software, finance, admin, product, and then open the call for questions and feedback. The next item on the agenda, which I know wasn't published on the agenda earlier, but is to approve the meeting minutes from the last member meeting of April 21st, 2016, which is also available on gov.peeringdb.com. So I'd like to ask everybody. Go ahead.
I also sent, just real quick, I sent out a copy of it, or I sent out a link to it last night, I believe, and this morning.
Okay. And looks like Will Hargrave, you have a question or comment? Okay, Will, I see your hand raised, but I can't hear your audio. So if you have a question, just type it inside the window, and I'll come back to you in a moment. Oh, that was from earlier. Okay, moving on. So the item on the table is approving the meeting minutes of April 21st, 2016. So I'm going to ask the room for all in favor of approving the minutes from April 21st, 2016. Please say aye.
This is a blast, man.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, unanimously passed. With that, I'm going to move on to the next item on the agenda, which will be the Peering DB software update. So I'm handing it over to you, Matt Griswold.
I believe Matt is joining in a second or so. He seems to have a technical issue. So maybe we should shuffle around the agenda to allow him a few minutes to sort out this connectivity?
Not a problem. Thanks for that information, Joe. The next...
Seth joined.
Just joined, yeah. Hey,
oh.
Matt.
Hey, what's up?
Ah, okay. So, Matt, we've done the introduction, and we're actually just down to the item on the agenda of Peering DB software update, which is to you.
Perfect. I'm honestly not supposed to, exactly what I'm supposed to say, just where we progressed from the last year.
Yep.
All right. I think we've done a good job with getting everything stable, and we fixed most of the bugs, and now we're organizing the product committee to try to get new features and whatnot out. And I think that pretty much sums it up. If there's any questions.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions or comments on the Peering DB software update? Hearing none, I'll move to the financial update and call for sponsors. Chris Caputo.
Hey. Let's see. So I posted finances for the end of year 2016. Both on the governance website, and the link has been sent to the PDBGov list. Essentially we have sponsorships coming in that have allowed us to pay $100,000 to 20C to acquire the PeeringDB 2.0 software outright, and we have ongoing support payments going to 20C now. Monthly. I myself am also compensated, and I've begun receiving funds in 2017. And most sponsors are renewing, which is great. And funds are at the point now where the product committee and the admin committee are beginning to bid out work, additional work, software work, and development. And I expect we'll be seeing the fruits of that soon as far as additional features. And as far as the call for sponsors goes, well, if your organization is not yet sponsoring, we'd love to have you. It's basically how we're funded, and so it's crucial. And if you're not aware, there's a sponsors page that has four different tiers. as high as 25,000 down to 2,500, and everything, and in between. And I'm happy to work with your organization to coordinate that. And I'm also happy to take any questions at this point.
Any questions or comments on the financial update? Okay. Hearing none, I'll move on to the admin committee update. Job Snyders.
Thank you, Aaron. I have a few numbers I would like to share as one of the officers within the admin committee. As it currently stands, the admin committee is responsible as the first line of support to our end users, and we receive about 1,000 tickets per month. And we handle 80% of those tickets within 24 hours. So that is quite impressive numbers. And this is all possible thanks to an awesome volunteer team that is consistent of myself, Arnold Nipper, Eric Lincho, Michael Still, Kate Gary, Eduardo Oscendo Rice, Samer Abdel Hafez, Florian Hippler, Peter Helmenstein, Hendrik Brass, and Christopher Hansen. I would like to thank each of those for their time and commitment to ensuring that Peering the Bee is useful. In terms of numbers, earlier you mentioned that more than a year ago we were struggling with some outages. I looked up the statistics, and in the last 12 months, the Peering the Bee website in total has only been unavailable for 11 hours, so that makes for a 99.88% uptime. Which is definitely an improvement compared to previous years. For the next 12 months, the admin committee will be focusing on automating the admittance of new users. Currently, it's quite some effort to onboard new peering participants and get them started. And we believe that there are some low-hanging fruit in automating the approval procedure for people to sign up on Peering the Bee. So that is a highlight I wanted to share with you because it will make a big difference in how quickly we handle things. Furthermore, the admin committee is also concerned with still data or correcting wrong data or completing missing data. And this is an ongoing process in which we engage with various entities to see if we can improve upon what's currently there. Alex, can you...
Alex is here. Thank you so much. I'm yes, of course, and it's been great. Okay.
Okay. Then I would like to end this update with a call for volunteers, because those 1,000 tickets per month don't handle themselves. We are specifically interested in volunteers that master the Spanish or Portuguese language, because we see a lot of uptake from the South American region, and we view it as beneficial if we can communicate with participants from all over the world in their native tongue, if possible. However, if you do not speak Spanish or Portuguese, it should not preclude you from signing up as a volunteer for the admin committee. So please reach out to myself or Arnold Nipper should you be interested to spend some time every week on handling Peering the Bee tickets. This ends my update. Are there any questions so far for myself or Arnold Nipper?
I have a quick question. Oh, sorry, go ahead. I guess I have to raise my hand. I'll figure out how to do that.
I have no questions. Thank you so much.
I have a quick question for you, actually. So this is Chris from Google. You had mentioned needing Spanish and Portuguese speakers to onboard users. Kind of along that same vein, Do you have any comments about internationalization of the site in terms of language availability? I don't know if that falls more into admin or more into to product, but it's interesting.
Yes, I would argue that is more for the product committee. As far as I'm aware, there is a issue open on GitHub that mentions the possibility of internationalization, but I don't think anybody so far has actually put in work to progress that feature. But yes, it is definitely, speaking as admin, we see that people, especially South American regions, see the value of hearing DB and that they would like to participate because it helps their hearing. But that language can be a barrier, and the only way to resolve that is to make sure that you bring the information in a way that is consumable by the receiver, and oftentimes that would involve translation. So it does make sense to me.
Hi, Nick Carlin, Microsoft. I was just wondering if the admin committee has any stats they publish for the 1,000 tickets a month in terms of what category of issues they are.
I do not have such statistics readily available, but the majority of tickets, from my gut feeling, is new user signups. So people that register their organization and then subsequently register an autonomous system number or multiple of those steps in the process generate emails on the back end, and those emails are handled by the admin committee. And I think that's the majority of work. Arnold, perhaps you would like to share your view on this?
Yeah, I would also say that 85% of the tickets are new networks signing up. So, and then I would say roughly or 80%, 10% are facilities. Then every now and then some new IXP, and the rest is just questions for you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions?
All right.
Back to you, Aaron. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Joe. Okay, the next item on the agenda is the Product Development Committee update, which I will give. So as a few others have said, the Product Development Committee is really just coming into its maturity, given that 2.0 was rolled out along with regular maintenance updates, patches, small feature requests, per the maintenance contract being put into place. The Product Development Committee is positioned well to take on a longer-term product development role. Today, bug fixes, feature requests, et cetera, are submitted via GitHub. The process for addressing order, priority, and scoping is actively being documented. The expectation has been set with the Product Development Committee that it will provide a long-term product roadmap via the website and a slide for the PeeringDB deck, which is being presented regularly at industry events. The product development team has identified 5 areas to work in: data quality and privacy / confidentiality, usability of the web and API, partner management and communication outreach, platform stability and reliability, and lastly, facilitation, product evaluation, roadmap consolidation, and membership engagement. Regular public documentation will be published at the outcome of each of the committee meetings, as well as the product roadmap documentation coming shortly. We've also been focusing on fresh content for the PeeringDB presentation deck. There's been a significant change in the content focus with a focus on education and featured integrations. The new deck will have its first appearance at GPF12 next week in New York City. That's all for the Product Development Committee. Any questions or comments? Oh, The next item on the agenda is open mic. So I'd like to open this up for any questions or comments about any of this meeting, the organization, technical and policy Q&A, anything you have.
Hi, Nick Ireland. Kind of between the financial and product, but I am wondering, you know, if there are any, there's any work going on into looking for, you know, potential revenue streams other than sponsorship that the products could generate?
So today the answer is no. The organization is in a healthy enough position to not have to be concerned about additional funding sources. We have not a long enough history of product development for features outside of a maintenance contract to really determine what budget should look like going forward. So the board and the product development committee have discussed this and decided that we'll document a effectively a future budget with the efforts that are going on for the next, say, quarter, half year, year, et cetera, and sort of determine what that run rate looks like, since that's where the majority of funds are spent. And if we get to a position where we can foresee a need for some other funding, we'll go back to the membership with that information and sort out a path. But today the answer is no. No other options have been investigated.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments for the Product Development Committee update?
Hey, guys. This is Mehmet here. I'm not sure if this is directly related with the Product Committee. But I will ask, since it was a general question, is there anything we are doing in regards to cleaning up the database to remove the bogus entries or entries that are not up to date? Is there any kind of effort to keep the records up to date?
If I may, Joe here.
Go ahead.
There's a number of efforts. For instance, if the admin committee is made aware that an Internet Exchange no longer exists, or through our own research, we discovered that an Internet Exchange went out of business, or a network for that matter, we do clean up the data. Furthermore, there are in the pipeline various data quality improvement features, such as automated rejection of bogan IP space or bogan ASNs or other things that a computer can decide are garbage. We do have the constraint in the database that forces all IPs on a port to be unique. And even in the case where a network disconnects from an IX and then a different network connects and is assigned the IP address of that previous network, those are usually quickly resolved because there's an incentive for networks to reach out and have the admin committee remedy that. Lastly, we are looking into validating PeerMDB data against external data sources such as IXF or the IXJSON schema publications that are sprinkled over the internet. So that's where some improvements could happen. You may recall from NAMOC 3 years ago that I gave an update on PeerMDB's accuracy. And at the time, my data showed that 99.0% of the entries that are computer parsable are in fact correct. And now I think that number will be slightly higher because PeerMDB 2 does not allow you to input invalidated IP addresses. So this highlights some of the things we have done in the past or are about to do in the next few months. Does that facilitate your question?
Mehmet? Okay. Mehmet, we can't hear you if you're responding. I would also just add a minor point to that. Part of the product development committee areas that I identified, that we identified as a group, was partner management. And one of the reasons for partner management is to evaluate other sources of information and integrate them with Peering DB in order to ensure as many points of data accuracy as possible to get to a place where, you know, it is a truly single source of truth with open integrations into other partners. So the certainly data accuracy is an essential part of Peering DB and something that we take very seriously and things that we are constantly looking at ways to make that data more accurate. Okay. Not hearing from Mehmet anymore. Does anybody else have any questions or comments for the product development committee? Okay. Hearing none. Sorry, this was this is open mic. So any questions brought up by the members, anybody on this call, technical policy Q&A, we're still open. Anybody have anything they want to bring up?
I have a good question if I can continue. So this is Chris from Google again, Van Foxen. So if it's okay, maybe Aaron, you might be in the best place to answer this question. Kind of going off of the email thread that had popped up a couple weeks ago, I think, about financial control, especially in regards to software development and Matt Grizzell's work being both a recipient of Peering DB funds, but also being on the Peering DB board. I guess I was curious if you could talk a little bit about Peering DB's financial controls specifically in that regard, because I think you know, when Google was approving funds for donations and things like that, I think we went in there with eyes wide open. Actually, if you remember, like January 2016, I'd written to you asking specifically about where money was going, and you answered, right? But I think for maybe new members, maybe not having as much visibility into that, and anyhow, the point is rather to say, do you have any comments about PeeringDB's future financial controls? Like, for example, if you know, Matt from Yahoo decides that he wants to make a bid on a particular piece of work, but, you know, Matt Griswold is already in ownership of that. You know, who makes the decisions? Is it the product group? And if it's the product group, does Matt Griswold also have a seat on that? Or, you know, maybe it's not even Gris, right? It's just some person, right? Some software person who happens to also be on the board. Just kind of that whole amalgamation of funds and where do they go and who gets to write a check, et cetera, et cetera. Is it okay to comment on that, General?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think I can answer this in sort of three different parts. One is the holistic question of where these decisions are made, and that is the product development committee. And part of their charter is intended to be fair and transparent and allow for multiple bidders and to keep all software that is being developed in a multi-developer, well-documented, friendly environment where anybody can bid on contract work and that is not tied to any specific contractor. In terms of conflict of interest, you know, everybody is required to disclose conflict of interest, and when a conflict arises, they should be disclosed and they should be accounted for in any vote or discussion that is being had over decision-making criteria, whether that be for, you know, selecting a vendor or related to financial decisions for a case where a conflict may come up. I'm going to jump to a third point, and then I'm going to actually pass this back to Chris Caputo to talk about what we're doing with our financial controls and documentation around that. So I'll jump to a point that I was going to say a little later in the agenda, which is that Matt Griswold has decided, has chosen not to run for another term in order to focus more on the product side. He's done an excellent service for the board, and nobody asked him to this. He just volunteered to do this in order to entirely remove the possibility of conflict. And we certainly look forward to continuing to work with him on the product side of the house. As for the financial part of the question, Chris, I think you can probably answer this best.
Sure, happy to. A few notes here real quick. Okay, so after the discussion on PDB.gov, and in particular after, I believe it was Dan Golding, brought up the essentially a recommendation for a financial controls policy, the board had some discussion subsequent to that, and we drafted up a financial controls policy, actually took advantage of work done by both NANOG and OpenIX in terms of reviewing their financial controls policies, and drafted one up, actually shared it with Dan Golding to get his feedback, and we have a draft that I'm happy to walk through. I don't think we want to necessarily share the language, but actually we could. If Aaron tells me to, I'm happy to. The intent was that the next board after this election makes the decision about, adopting it and further revisions to the draft or whatever. I'm looking at the controls policy now and just going through it, it declares obviously that we have a calendar fiscal year. It declares that the treasurer will provide a cash basis seat and profit and loss statement to any member upon request with data current as of prior month. It also says that the treasurer will post, as we've done, the annual statement to the website within the first half of the subsequent year, and that the treasurer will take care of the nonprofit filings with the IRS. As they need to be doing. It also lays out how payables will work, and it gives numbers like of what the treasurer is able to dispense or disperse with respect to if things are in budget, things can go out without further approval, up to a certain amount per month without approval, and then up to a higher amount with approval from the president, and then beyond that with approval from the board of directors. It has a section where we say that we do not normally provide refunds of contributions, and that any refund requires approval of a majority of the board of directors. Now, we've never run into a situation where someone has asked for a refund, but you never know what could happen, what the future holds. As far as reconciliation of bank statements, that's, again, on the treasurer, and proof of that reconciliation shall be provided to any director or officer upon request. And then we also specify that backups of things like QuickBooks files, bank statements, et cetera, are to be made available regularly to the president. And then there is a section regarding a reserve fund, but that one has had some debate about whether it should be in the financial controls policy. And so I'm not sure if it will end up being in it or whether it'll be something that placed in another document such as the budget. And I'm happy to answer any questions, or I think the board would welcome feedback on this too. And that's it.
Nick Harlan, one question I had, all of the balance and financial documents I've seen, they don't have line items for things like web hosting. I'm wondering if we are accounting for donations of services and goods, and marking their fair market value for if they needed to be replaced at a cost.
So one of the I'll take this and then go back to you, Chris.
Okay.
So in February we had an offsite face to face strategic planning meeting that the board did, and along with what you would expect as an outcome for strategic direction, ensuring reliability of the software and the platform is definitely on the list of the strat plan. And one of the, or several of the organizational objectives for 2017 and 2018 refer to getting maintenance contracts, SLAs, real support, real contracts for underlying supporting services of the PeeringDB platform. While today all of those have been donations, there are no contracts for those. Those are all donations, and they're something that should have contracts. It is it is something that we will start working on once we have this election finished and we have the new board in place. We'll be getting maintenance contracts for all of that service and appropriate SLAs. I don't know if there will be offers for things like $0 contracts. We haven't considered doing anything such as, you know, treating donated services as sponsors. Today we have categories for sponsors which have exact dollar amounts, and that would be pretty hard to fit in. However, this is something that we are tasking the board with figuring out this year, and it is certainly the top of the list in our organizational objectives. So I would encourage you to read the strat plan and the I would encourage you to read the strategic direction on the organizational objectives to see, you know, if there's any gaps in what we're intending to cover. And outside of that, Chris, did you have any other comment you wanted to make on that?
I kind of got lost in what the second to last sentence you were saying, and I apologize. And I can review the audio. Sorry.
So did that address the question?
Yeah. I think you know, part of it is not just like treating the donations as sponsorships, but accounting for them somewhere.
Yeah, I mean that's
well.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I guess I don't really understand how to do that. In another organization, with the Seattle Internet Exchange, when we get non-cash or in-kind donations, we put them on the website and acknowledge the donors in that fashion. But we don't account for it in any way in the actual financials, unless it's above a certain amount, which is I think around $5,000. The IRS doesn't require disclosure in the
I don't think that's what he's asking,
every year.
Chris.
So
I think
okay,
what he's asking is, I think what he's asking is, if we lose the donation, do we have a budget to replace it at fair market value? And if you look at the strat plan, it has things like buying these services to make sure that they have SLAs behind them and things like that. So the at least gist of the question is being covered in as soon as the new board is elected and implements the strat plan.
Got it.
Thank you.
Okay. So, you know, you'll see first a draft of the financial assurances discussed out probably next month's board meeting. We'll get a draft out to the community for review. And I assure you the, you know, operationally supporting SLAs with some flavor of contract is high on the list, and you'll see information about that out fairly shortly as well. In terms of alternative options for accepting you know, donations of services in other forms, you know, we'll certainly discuss it as a board and keep that information disclosed to the community. Still open mic. Anybody have any other questions or comments? And Matt Petak asked for the strat plan. I think you mean the strategic plan, which is if you go to gov.peeringdb.com, you will see it right underneath the mission statement is the the third bullet down, strategic plan and organizational objectives, the 2017-2018 draft. Other questions or comments?
I have another one if no one else does, but I wanted to wait my turn while other people spoke.
Go ahead, Chris.
Okay, so Chris Caputo's language, I think, around who can write checks, basically, or who can approve funds on behalf of PeeringDB, I think makes a lot of sense, especially making that Chris, you had mentioned whether or not it's important to make it public, and in some ways, I think at least for Google as an organization, it is quite important to know who is able to approve funds, and I think that Google's future donations or sponsorship is you know, hinges on that, right? Who can write checks basically on behalf of PeeringDB? And kind of in the same train of thought, if the board has ultimate approval of funds, right? That, I think that was the last one you had said where if it, you know, goes above a certain amount, they right. have the final authority. I think it can be really crucial to make sure that PeeringDB has a diverse representation of voices and backgrounds on the board. Even that earlier comment about, you know, Spanish and Portuguese language, right? Like the kind of the non-North American, non-UK, you know, centric group is quite valuable, I think, to PeeringDB and valuable to the users of PeeringDB, you know, having more representation. But anyhow, along that line, what is PeeringDB doing to look for a diverse group of folk or a diverse group of people to be represented on the board?
So today we don't have a specific requirement for diversity in order to, you know, provide a slate to the membership to vote on. The board today is fairly diverse, and that is being, you know, left up to the membership to provide a slate or volunteer or nominate someone to run. That being said, I understand the comments and we'll take that under consideration for potentially adding diversity requirements, for filling slots on the board. But today I'm not, you know, aware of any challenge. I hear that you're just saying, you know, what protections are in place to ensure that we don't end up with one. And understand the comment. There is nothing in place today to protect from, that outside of our own self-governance in terms of who gets forwarded to the slate. So,
sorry, go ahead, Chris.
So I was just going to respond a little more about the financial, the section of the financial controls policy that you had mentioned, but, feel free to go unless you want me to share that. I can just say that to answer your question, right now the president and the treasurer have signing or payment authorization. So that's Aaron and myself. And the numbers we had discussed were up to 1,000. The treasurer could approve up to 1,000 without approval, 1,000 per month, I apologize. And that up to 10,000 per month would need approval of the president, and beyond 10,000 a month would need approval of the board of directors. And keeping in mind that the board of directors has a conflict of interest policy in place, and also that disclosures are made. And it did take a while last year for those disclosures to finally happen. But I expect that, I think it's everybody's hope that that happens much more quickly with this new board after the election.
Gotcha.
And I also, with respect to disclosures, and with respect to 20C, I think it's safe to say it was no surprise to anyone that Matt was involved with 20C, and that was disclosed in the minutes as discussions of the contract with 20C were going on.
Yep, fully agree. That's, I think their earlier comment was that, some organizations went in with eyes wide open and some organizations didn't. So, yes, I agree to that. Yeah. I think Yob had written something here. Yeah, board having, you know, different citizenship. I think part of the issue is maybe one that was addressed at, I think I'd listened to someone's earlier conversation, earlier presentation. Not the idea of citizenship just being diverse, but the idea of, you know, a diverse group of speakers, you know, people who are maybe both newer and older to the, you know, peering world as a whole, people from organizations that are, you know, long-term peers versus, you know, people for whom peering is new. So just not just where you're from necessarily, but your background and how, you know, you approach this whole industry. So that, I think that was more of the comment than not just, oh, you don't have enough people from different countries, for example.
It's a reasonable request for us to write a document together which describes the duties of a board member for this organization and the kind of people that we're looking for to fill the seats. So certainly the comment is reasonable and something that we can take as an action item.
Thank you.
Still an open mic. Any other comments or questions?
I'm sorry if this was already addressed, but is there any place where PeeringDB keeps their availability stats, major outage stats from the past year?
Yogi, you can take this one.
Could you repeat the question to me?
I'm trying to see if there is any kind of historical data that we can find out the availability of PeeringDB and how many outages, if any, has happened that impacted the service.
We use a monitoring tool called Uptime Robot. I can privately email you a CSV file of the last 12 months. And if you want to review just the last 30 days, then go to status.peeringdb.com. You'll see canaries for the various services that we have. So we have checks that signal whether a backup was successfully made, that test outbound email delivery. So there's a number of checks that we do. And perhaps to that note, this will please Martin Levy. We are now making backups every 60 seconds to diverse offsite locations on multiple continents.
Mehmet, did that address your question?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
just to add to that, perhaps we should make, if there is an outage, that we make just a note which is available to all users. So hearing this service was down for that reason, and then users may pick it up easily.
I believe we already do that in part, because, for instance, the majority of the outages are due to software upgrades of the backend, and we announce those ahead of time.
Okay, still open mic. Other questions, comments?
One more open mic question, but I don't want to disrespect others, so unless there is no other question from someone else, I will go ahead.
Go ahead, Mehmet.
So there's always disparity between PeeringDB entries of an exchange members versus actual exchange members. And, of course, this is because some people, some ISPs don't want to register PeeringDB. There's not much we can do about it, really. But is there really anything we can do, or has the board tried to find a way to engage with IXs to keep this actual member list of an IX in PeeringDB and in actual IX database accurate and up to date?
Not quite sure how to answer that question. So that wouldn't, generally speaking, be a board directive. That would be probably admin and product committee outside of, you know, this sort of main overall umbrella objective of maintaining high accuracy. It's not entirely clear what you're asking for outside of engagement with IXPs, which certainly we do, and are intending to have more communication, outreach, and partner management to facilitate higher accuracy. That is something that is on the roadmap of the product development committee, and it's in progress. So...
I guess this answers my question, and I'm more generally trying to understand if there is an active way that has been taught in the past to work with IXPs, kind of asking IXPs, delegating this responsibility slightly to them to keep their database up to date, or am I really approaching this from a wrong angle?
So Mehmet, there is this IXF JSON schema where the IXPs provide data about the members of the IXPs, and our plan is to work with them to get accurate data from the IXPs for the members.
Thank you.
Other questions, comments?
I'm just curious. So, Arnold, are you saying the plan is to use the IXF JSON format and have it be consumed by PeeringDB to inform PeeringDB's database?
Yeah, so that is the idea. So we already discussed this on product committee.
Okay.
Other questions or comments?
I'll just add that the IXF, what is it, IX Foundation has recently started a directory of the IXPs that are exporting that JSON format, which is, I think, a big step towards the goal. So,
yeah, this will all come out in the public product roadmap shortly. Other questions or comments?
Just related to the talk about moving to services with SLAs and things like that, is there a roadmap to high availability? I know that maintenances are announced and are the most common cause of outages, but there are people who configure their routers with this.
Yeah, I think you'll see more public information about that in the next 60 days or so. There is absolutely a bunch of discussion around high availability and what an SLA really means for the organization. How do we get to, an RTO, RPO? How do we define what that is? And how do we deal with the case where there is an outage? So it's an active discussion, and you'll see more information on that shortly. I think that, what we've shown today is a very clear path to becoming more and more stable and treating it like an absolutely critical internet infrastructure service. What's missing is, the documentation and the testing behind that actual execution of high availability. And that is coming very soon.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments? Alex, do you have a question, or you just got some noise in the background?
Not as mistakes with microphone. It's no problem.
Okay.
No question.
Okay. Hearing no other comments or questions, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda. And before I adjourn the meeting, I'd also like to encourage everyone to vote at the currently ongoing board elections. There are 3 seats up for election and 6 candidates running. If you're registered to vote, you should have already received your electronic ballot. If you've not registered to vote, please fill out the form that Chris Caputo sent out to the GovList about 2 hours ago. Voting closes on the 29th of this month. That's 9 days from now at 23:59 UTC. That's all for this meeting. Thank you all again for your time and your continued support of PeeringDB. And with that, I will adjourn the meeting.